Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRE Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRE Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRE staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
Well, it's a topic that everyone is talking about, especially on LinkedIn, the long-term unemployment that so many individuals are facing. And what we thought we'd do today is spend a couple of minutes on how to actually address this long-term employment more effectively on resumes and in interviews, because I think so many individuals, of course, they're dealing with so much personal emotions around this long-term employment, no matter what the reasons are, whether it's that they've been laid off or they intentionally took the time off and now can't get back in. So how to show this on your resume in a positive but still honest light, as well as still showing positive forward motions, and how to answer these questions that these interviewers ask you about why you've been out of work so long without strangling them.
Yes, this is a really important question. We get this a lot, especially lately in this economy. So great topic. Let's start with the written materials, your resume, cover letter. How do you display a gap on your resume or your cover letter, any of your written materials, because that's step one?
I would say the biggest thing is don't just leave a gap. I've seen many resumes where there's just maybe like a year where there's nothing going on and you just wonder what was happening. Why weren't you working? I would say just a short, simple explanation gives the recruiter or the hiring manager kind of a picture of your story and helps them understand your career path. If possible, you could put in there if you had got some certifications during that time or took a course or something showing, you were still learning and getting experience in that type of thing. But I would definitely not just leave an empty spot.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to suggest that you can strategize it within your resume. Like, for example, you can do a cover letter, like 2 to 3 sentences explanation on why you have that gap on your employment. Or you can also do it chronologically, insert it in between your employments and just have a little explanation why you have that, space or break in your career. And then another thing, you can also put a little section down on your resume, like an additional information why you have that, decision in your life to step back from your career. The most important thing is we have to address that elephant in the room rather than, not explaining it and waiting for the recruiter or the hiring managers to think the worst of it and make it a red flag, with a better explanation, strong explanation. I'm sure a lot of companies would accept that because companies nowadays see them as normal life events rather than a deal breaker.
Yeah, I love that you said that because you're right. Both Jenny and Rachel, both of you guys are right. You don't want to leave it blank because then we have to use our imagination. And a lot of companies aren't going to ask you. They're just going to go to the next candidate. And I think folks think that the resume is such a formal document that they can't put a couple of sentences in between sections to explain why they were out and for whatever reason it is. And I think it's a flawed approach. But there are other different resume types that you can use that can help. There's hybrid combination type resumes. You don't have to necessarily do a traditional chronological or reverse chronological resume, or you can do kind of a hybrid of both that gives like your skills and focuses on your skills and your accomplishments up top. So that's front and center before they look at your history. And so then that way they see everything that you've accomplished and all your certifications and your qualifications before they go, oh, they've got a gap, but here's the explanation. And so, being able to direct individuals to what's important in your resume, and to your point, Rachel, there's an elephant in the room. You have to explain it eventually, but put that elephant further down in your resume so that people don't see it right away. Because I think strategically that makes sense too. You can make them fall in love with you with the professional summary and with the top part that maybe lists all your accomplishments or the great big projects that you worked on, et cetera, et cetera.
So, team, how do we direct these folks to write something on their resume. We've got obviously intentional gaps. You've intentionally stepped away to take care of an ailing parent or your kids, or there's some situation that you purposefully step back. Well, I can see people listening and saying, well, I've just been looking. How do I explain that? What do I say? So what are our recommendations for how to fill that gap when people are job seeking? What can they do?
They do need to spin it into a positive. If they go into a negative Nelly, I mean, it automatically puts flags. I mean, we get it. We're all, especially in this economy, everybody's searching for a position. So just focus on any certifications you got during that time, how you were networking, how you were deciding what you wanted to do, how you were being selective in the positions that you're looking for, because you know what you want. And you especially chose this position because it was a perfect fit for you. And just show that you're ready to commit to the role. And what I don't recommend that you do is apply for positions that you're overqualified for just because you need a job. Mm-hmm. It just shows desperation.
Yeah, I agree.
A little bit off of what Carrie is saying, when you're actually speaking to a recruiter, if you get to that point because your resume had those explanations, but anyways. But when you do get to speak with a recruiter about your gaps, it just being honest, transparent, giving specific details, don't fall into the poor me victim. Mm-hmm. I haven't found something. I don't know what's going on, or I had to take some time off because I had all this stuff going on. You just want to go straight to the point. Yes, the recruiter wants to hear why, but at the same time, be strategic and specific as far as what you want to provide as far as information goes. And I would also add in there, if there is a gap during that time, if you're in that time at the moment where you are in a situation where you're still looking for a job and it's been a few months, go look up some free training, risk-based monitoring, GCP, you know, renew what you need to renew as far as certificates, and talk about that when you are explaining your gap. Like, yeah, I know I was looking, but during that time, I actually went on da-da-da-da and did some training. And then that way it shows to the recruiter that, okay, yes, they were unemployed, but they were still trying to be a part of the industry and still staying on top of regulations or trainings or things like that. So I would say that would be my suggestion.
I'd also tell you to volunteer.
Yes.
Because let's say that you're volunteering to put together a social event for a church or a community, or you're working at the soup kitchen, or you're doing whatever it is that your community needs to do. Okay, you're not clinical research, but there's transferable skills that are involved there that you can now highlight. Leading, organization, customer service, relationships, those types of things that you can say, yeah, I honed my budget and negotiation skills. I did this because I wanted to give back to the community. Never had a chance to do that before until I found myself looking for a position and I was able to carve this time out, and it made a huge difference to our community because of such and such. And it just shows forward motion, and it shows your initiative and desire to do something that makes a huge difference to your community as well. And you add that to your resume. I mean, I think, Peggy, where you're going is, how do you do that? I mean, if you were a caregiver, let's say that you took time off to handle a disabled child or a parent that needed caregiving or whatever, you don't need to tell me it was a disabled child or somebody that was on drugs or, you know, what. You don't need to give me those details. Just tell me that you're a caregiver, but put family caregiver and the dates. Treat it like a job, and then put bullets in there. And I've got some examples in an article I wrote this week. Managed complex scheduling, budgeting, and medical or educational coordination. Maintain professional skills through online courses in the interim, et cetera, et cetera. Things like, just treat it like a job. And you could do the same thing with your volunteer work. Treat it like a job and list the volunteers and the accomplishments that you did. It's a wow factor that you can take advantage of during your downtime.
Maya, you had some thoughts about oversharing, perhaps?
Okay. Yeah, and when you do go to explain your gaps, like Angela was saying, there's a fine balance between it all. You don't want to over-explain, which can come across as like defensive, like,
oh, I was doing this and this and this, or this was happening. And like, it's like, okay, I'm not here to attack you. I just want to understand. Or then you can do you can also go along the lines of oversharing, where I've had people tell me all kinds of reasons about things that happened. And I'm like, it's not that I don't care about you as a human, but now you're putting stories in my head and you don't want me to make up stories. My husband says I have an overactive imagination. So like, you got to keep it neutral. I really appreciate life happens and things happen, but like, you don't need to overshare with me at this point in your career trajectory. And then and then as everyone was saying, you don't want to not address it. So under explaining it, you don't want to not say anything and just be like, they're not going to notice it. I'm just going to slide right through. And I was like, no, we'll see it. And we're still going to ask about it. And you don't need to feel bad about it. You don't need to feel defensive. You don't need to feel like you have to overshare. You just need to say, my mother was ill. I no need to longer to need to provide that caregiving. And I am ready and willing and excited to jump back into a new role that is, you know, I'm passionate about. You know, this, it doesn't need to be as big as you think it is, even if it feels like such a monumental thing. Especially on our end, we're just like, okay, you cared for your mother. Glad to hear it. You're ready to get back. Let's go. So that's just, you know, the oversharing, the undersharing, and the overexplaining. Just watch out for those.
Yeah. And I think it can be the same in both intentional gaps and generic job seeking gaps. You can have the power in both situations. So definitely explain the gap if it's an intentional personal reason. But if you have a gap due to job seeking, when you're in the conversation stage, like an interview, you want to spin it where you take back the power. Something like, I'm searching for the perfect opportunity. I want to make sure that where I land is perfect for me. So I've been a little picky in this job search. And this makes it sound less like nobody wants me and everyone has rejected me and woe is me, but more about how selective you are in trying to find the perfect home or the perfect project. And then that is where you bridge it back to how much you love their position that you're interviewing for and their company because ... because you've been so picky, now you've hand selected their opportunity and this is why. You want to look like you're in control, and the hiring manager wants to know that you have hand-selected their position, and that is what you're passionate about. So take back the power and spin it in the conversation.
And being honest. I mean, I get it. You have to be positive, and you don't want to do too much TMI, but you do want to be honest. This is someone you're going to have a future relationship with. Which is why it's really important you're really handpicking this opportunity and that it's just not out of desperation. So just be honest and excited. This is your new position and don't feel bad. Your life is your life. So what's happened has happened. You just need to focus on forward motion.
Yeah, definitely don't feel bad about having a gap in your resume. I have one recently in between this job and my last job. I have a gap from, you know, July 2024 to February 2025. And I remember the first time I got the question, you know, can you explain the gap? Or, you know, what have you been doing in this time? It was hard not to want to overshare. You know, I had a situation where I moved to a new state and I needed to, you know, renovate my living situation. It took a few months. And then after that, you know, I was job searching. And I remember feeling a little bit defensive for that question because it's like, well, obviously I need a job. You know, like I'm well, how long? I need a job. I've been looking. You know, you don't want to strangle them in that question. But I did feel like, you know, interviewers can have such a poker face when you're explaining things to them. I sometimes felt like even though I had a very normal excuse, you know, you're moving and then you're getting ready and stuff. I just felt like it wasn't ever good enough to some interviewers. And that was more on me because as the gap started to go on and on, I started to lose a lot of confidence in myself and how I would be able to explain this gap to another employer in another interview. And I just remember having such a negative mindset about it. I remember just, you know, feeling like, you know, productivity, especially in the US, is such a marker for how well you do. And I felt like a failure somehow because I wasn't productive, you know, 24/7. Every year, every month on my resume. And You know, Angela always says that failure is just a result. And we do so many webinars and podcasts on mindset change. And I had to sit there and just really change my mindset and be like, this isn't a failure. This is my story. And this is how I got here. And I just need to explain it and be honest. And, you know, a lot more people have gaps than you think. And mm-hmm. It's not a deal breaker at all. I mean, I was able to get this job with a gap on my resume. So just be honest and don't think of it as a negative, like Carrie said. Just think of it as a positive.
Yeah, I think that whenever, and I love that you shared your story. I think if those of you guys that are listening, if you feel really bad about your gap, that is a you problem. And I'm not trying to be a smarty pants by saying that, but I'm telling you that's a blocker and a mindset issue that it would behoove you to work through. Your circumstances are a result. And if you want to change that result, you're going to have to start shifting a lot of things. And your mindset is the first place to start. Because if you're doing your applications and you're expecting silence, then guess what you're going to get? You're going to get silence. And so you do have to shift your approach. And most of it starts in the brain, in what you believe about yourself, because you're not out of work because there's something wrong with you. You're out of work because the economy is what the economy is, and because perhaps your approach to the job search can be tweaked somewhat. I had a gentleman that reached out this week to our page and said, I'm flabbergasted as to why I still don't have a job. I have excellent experience. I climbed the ranks up to a CTM. I am now willing to step back into a CRA role for less money, but yet no one will hire me. And I'm like, okay, well, there's your problem, right? Is that you're now telling me that you're willing to settle. And I went back and I looked in his record and he applied last week for any CRA or any CTM job. And I told him, I said, we don't have any jobs. We've never hired for an any job. You got to be very clear about what it is that you're looking for. And I don't think it has anything to do with your qualifications. I think it has to do with your approach. If you're going in with the ego of you guys, you know, you're lucky to have me and I'm willing to do whatever because I need a job, then people are going to shy away from that because it costs a lot of money to hire someone and for them to quit. And if I give you any job and it's not the job you want, how long are you going to stick in there? I'm not taking that chance. And that's what we're talking about here whenever it comes to your approach to the job search. If you're still out of work, because we hire people every day here, and their resumes probably don't look any different than yours do. And it's because of their approach and the way they're handling the explanation of the gaps on the resume. It's because of what they're doing during their downtime and how they can articulate it. And it's how they're handling the questions in the interview. But here's the number one goal thing that is a huge difference is their approach to begin with. They know what they want and they're applying for what they want. And they're being very clear in their direction and very concrete in what it is that they're wanting to accomplish. And that clarity is gold to us. Because I would much prefer to hire a really good CRA who loves being a CRA and she's ready to start today because everything else has been resolved than someone who just wants any job because they need to make their mortgage payment. And I'm not trying to be hard. I'm having a hard discussion with the listeners because this is the difference as to why you're still looking and someone that has exactly the same resume as you is not, is your approach to the job search and the way that you handle just these three things.
And it's science. I mean, nobody mm-hmm. wants somebody that's desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in a relationship and anything. If you're desperate, it just makes you less attractive.
Well, it's a victimization mindset. I mean, mm-hmm. I think one of the recruiters told me this week that someone told them the story about they've been out of work for a period of time intentionally. They've been out of work for a period of time because they've gone through a nasty divorce. There's a huge custody battle. They've taken this time off, et cetera, et cetera. So the way that he explained it to my recruiter was really drama filled. I mean, the energy blasting through the call and the whole thing. And that's where you got to be a little careful. So telling someone that you're taking the intentional time off. And I do think that's important, but then being to Maya's point, don't overshare because we don't hire victims either. because the drama just it pushes people away. This is to Carrie's point, this is science and human nature. I'm not going to hire you because you've just recently been divorced and you're a single mom and you're taking care of your mother. Because she's aging or disabled. I'm going to hire you because you're a great CRA and I know you're going to show up to work every day. So you got to put it into the right perspective in order to get to that next step.
Okay, well, thank you, team, for this discussion. Thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit CRAresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm. We cannot wait to work with you.